It's Thursday, March 21st, 2013, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games, and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 6, really more like the first fantasy. Running time for this episode is 38 minutes.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Tyler.
And welcome to Last Time on Video Games.
This week, we're talking about Final Fantasy.
Yes, Final Fantasy. The first one. Not Final Fantasy Tactics, or Chocobo Racing, or 2600, or ABCDEFG. Just Final Fantasy.
XXII.
My brother kept asking me which one. And I'm like, just this one. He's like, are you sure?
Yeah, they didn't have numbers after it back then.
No, numbers hadn't been invented yet. That's all right, there are so many of them in the game.
Well, Roman numerals hadn't been invented yet, so obviously.
Yeah, you're right, because there are classic numerals in the game.
So in trying to play this game, I think both of us have kind of found ourselves not playing this game and playing other things preferentially.
Yeah, and I think we should talk about modern video games we play to prove to all of our detractors who only play shooters, because we have detractors that only play shooters, right, audience?
Obviously.
That we do play modern games. None of them are shooters. Well, actually, you're playing Resident Evil 4, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a shooter.
Kind of.
I play TF2 a lot. Well, not as much as I used to, but I kind of rotate in and out of it.
Yeah.
I like shooters, I just don't own any. I also don't own a 360, which is like the shooter box.
Yeah, so. you just have a Wii at this point, right? And a PS2?
And a PS2, and a Genesis, and an N64, and a GameCube. And
well, those are essential life items, not consoles.
Fair enough. How can I live without my Genesis? I've got columns on the Genesis.
That sounds like a sweet game. Moving on. I'm playing League of Legends right now, because it's free to play, and I haven't played it before, and that's a mistake, because I like RTSs and I like MOBAs. And it's, like, the best one.
I played it. Well, I played Amy in, like, two or three rounds and decided I didn't
Annie?
Like it. Oh, yeah, Annie. That's right. The
teddy
one with the demonic
girl?
Teddy bear.
Yeah. How can you not like Annie?
I like Annie. I don't like playing as her, but it may have been that she was a poor choice for first character.
Well, she is one of the recommended for noobs characters.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I just suck. So.
Well, I sucked at first. I played a bunch. The community has not been all assholes, like I've been told. But also, I'm apparently really good at it, because I was playing a healer and went 18-0.
That's pretty good.
It is. That's good for a support. That's good for a carry. It's great for a support.
Have you heard that they started two officially sponsored teams for it?
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while. That's kind of where my interest in the game came from. I play StarCraft 2, so I've watched some StarCraft 2 tournaments. And it's pretty common now for League of Legends tournaments to be going on at the same time as StarCraft 2 tournaments.
Indeed.
So in between games, they'll cut over to League of Legends.
My brother-in-law plays League of Legends, but I think he actually just watches people play League of Legends more than he actually plays it.
See, I get like that with StarCraft 2 sometimes. I go in and out. StarCraft 2 I'm a student of more than a player of. League of Legends I really enjoy playing, and I don't know if I'd like watching or not.
I like watching it, but on the other hand, I more watch the minimap than the actual action.
Well, that's what you do. When you're watching an RTS, the minimap is important. The action you only watch because it's pretty particle effects.
Well, and you need to know where to aim your attacks.
Well, and you also, in more classical RTSs, you want to look at the building screen, because what people are building is important now they get their reinforcements out. And
true.
You want to watch their income tab. StarCraft 2 has a lot of really good spectator tools. Because, yeah, you can see their income, you can see everything they're currently building, you can see their
current
army.
Not pylons.
Yes. Well, you can see that anyway. So, I've been playing a lot of that instead of Final Fantasy, and I think that's because it's really slow. It's turn-based combat, obviously. But
it's like old turn-based combat, old Final Fantasy style.
It seems like it takes forever to process. Like, the animations take a while, and there just feels like there's a huge lag in between. Well, and
especially after casting spells with effects, there's like a second and a half lag between it saying the amount of damage you did to something, and it moving on to the next step, which could be that the monster died. And then there's like another second and a half between that and moving on to the next monster that you hit with.
There's like a second and a half after you click attack before it shows the cursor to select who, and every time you press the button there's a little bit of lag. It's really bad. But all we do on this podcast is bitch about games.
Well, that's kind of the point, isn't it?
No, it's to celebrate how great Castlevania is.
And Mega Man. Mega Man was pretty good.
Mega Man was great.
We didn't have a recorded episode of Mega Man.
We didn't record Castlevania or Mega Man.
No! We should go back and do those at some point. Those would be bonus episodes.
Yeah. Games we played while we were trying to figure out what the hell to do with this.
Before settling on a podcast.
Yeah. So let's start at the start of Final Fantasy.
In a world where you have four...
Back up.
Oh, what?
You have to choose four dudes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Before you had the four dudes in the world... You have to choose your party kind of like AD&D style, which is, I actually like that.
Have you played Dragon Warrior 3?
I have not played any of the Dragon Warriors.
Dragon Warrior 3 is like this, but there are like 12 classes, and it's really worth a look. I should find my Dragon Warrior card and start playing that. So anyway, you start with choosing a party of 4 characters from 6 different classes, and you can have repeats if you want the Red Mage party.
Which actually seems like an excellent idea after playing the game for a little bit.
I've been told they really fall off in the endgame.
That is true, because you don't get spells like Nuke and Fade. Fade, I think, is the white spell, or white
mage
equivalent.
I only got to level 4 spells, and I didn't buy any.
Yeah, I got to level 6 spells, but I can't. No one in my party can cast level 6, so.
So the 6 classes you can choose from are Fighter, who's a big dumb guy who hits things with weapons and is really good at it.
Red Mage, who, actually, we should probably do Red Mage later, yeah, because White Mage and Black Mage should come first.
Black Belt, who neither of us picked a Black Belt, right?
No, although I think he would have been better than Thief, who was another class.
Yeah, Black Belts are unarmed fighters who get nunchucks, I guess, for less unarmedness.
Yeah, I think they're kind of like fighters, but they get magical resistance and have less health overall, so.
I've heard their attack power can be based either on their currently equipped weapon or their level.
Oh.
And so you unequip... I haven't played one.
As you get to higher levels, you unequip weapons?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But I don't have
they
a black
start
belt.
Weak, I've also heard. But I don't know. Neither of us took that Thief, who I did not take either, so...
I did take a Thief, and... Yeah, they're okay. They have high luck, which means they crit a lot. So, and they're pretty fast, which means they hit multiple times a lot. But, yeah, he has low health and can't equip any armor. Although, I was looking at a couple facts, and it looks like Ninja becomes amazing because it can suddenly equip fighter-level armor.
That's what I've been told, but I didn't get anywhere close to promotion. All the classes have a stronger promoted class at a certain point in the game, where they get cool new tricks.
It's like a prestige class if you play D&D.
Well, this would have predated prestige classes.
Indeed. But it's like if AD&D had prestige classes.
Okay. Instead of elf and dwarf.
Yeah.
Then you have the 3 mages, black, white, and red. Black and white mages are terrible at attacking and wearing armor.
But have higher intelligence so they can cast more spells.
Yeah, red mages can do everything, just not that well. And by not that well, at the early game, we mean just as well as everything else.
Indeed. My red mage is as good an attacker, or probably even better than my thief. He can cast spells almost as well as my black mage, and he's wearing a cool red hat.
And black mages, of course, get offensive spells, fire,
lightning, ice.
Also sleep, which is useful. Create Slaughterhouse is the best spell. Although it's not as good as in D&D.
You can also get a couple support spells that really seem, they're kind of like time magic.
Yeah.
So like slow, slow might actually be a white.
And I know slow is black, I just got it.
Fast is definitely black, which seems like, I don't know. So black mages inexplicably have time magic.
Well, keep in mind, this is the trope establisher. They later split that off.
That is true. Into a time mage, which was a class in one of the games that had classes.
It's in tactics, and it's awesome. It also gets Meteor in tactics.
Well, obviously, because meteors take so long to get here.
They actually do. They have really slow cast time, so you have to cast, like, stop on them before you cast meteor.
So, white mages then get more support skills, I guess buffing as opposed to debuffing, and also
and cures.
Healing.
Cures are important.
Cure is important, and I actually found out that red mage can't cast Cure 4, which is the restore all your health.
Nice.
So, you get the best you get ever is Cure 3, which is kind of...
Yeah, Cure 1 is pretty mediocre.
It is, even at the beginning of the game where you only have like 20 health, Cure 1's still pretty mediocre.
So then you start the game, you start in a town with a castle, you have an overworld map.
You don't have a mini map though, so you can't tell where on the overworld you are in relation to other things.
Yeah, navigation might be a little difficult, but one of the things I really like this game, you choose your classes and you also name your characters.
You only get 4 slots for characters.
Yeah, you only have 4 letters, but I still got to make me, the Black Mage, Emmy, Zach, the Dumb Fighter, Tile, the Mage,
yeah!
The Red Mage, and you, gentle audience, spelled ODD, duh, are my heel bitch. I mean, valuable white mage.
Hey, no one f*** with the white mage. We're going to have to bleep that out.
Yep, I am.
So now it's going to be no one bleeps with the white mage. So if any of you have ever read 8-Bit Theater, I inexplicably ended up with the 8-Bit Theater party without actually thinking about it. I chose my first one, and I'm like, well, obviously I need a fighter, and I obviously need a black mage, and I don't really want a white mage, so I'll take a red mage, and I guess a thief? And then I started playing, and about 20 minutes into the game, I'm like, I have the 8-Bit Theater party.
You named them Phi, Blah.
My fighter is named FTR, my black mage is named BKMG, my red mage is RDMG, and my thief is THF.
Nice, nice. See, I named my characters after people I know, and you, gentle listeners, and my friend Tile. You don't know him.
Dude, he sounds awesome. He's a red mage.
Yeah, exactly. It really has a sense of adventure to me, though, because you have to kind of map your... It's a simple enough map that you can pretty much figure things out, but you've got to trek through it, and it would behoove you to map it out.
So, we may be kind of going across audiences here, since we're also tabletop gamers in addition to video gamers, but this Final Fantasy, more than any other one, feels to me like a D&D adventure, where you're given a series of quests that aren't really related at all. I mean, they're kind of similar, but you're just kind of tossed in and said, here we go, party, try not to die.
I think part of that is it's the most generic universe of the Final Fantasies I've played. You start out, rescue princess. That's the entirety of the plot at the start, rescue princess.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, please save my daughter. He says, rescue princess.
There are some people in the town who tell you to go rescue the daughter, but the king himself just says... there are some people who are like, there's a temple of fiends up in the northwest. You should go there because the princess is there. And you're like, okay. And then you talk to the king, assuming he's going to give you an official quest of some sort. And he's like, rescue.
Yeah, that's one of the things I kind of have a problem in this game. It's got a real good feeling of exploration. It's not good at giving you your goals or explaining the story. You're the Warriors of Light because, hey, I get you guys are the Warriors of Light. You look like your PCs. I see your big stamp on your forehead.
You have, ostensibly, the four orbs of the elements that you need to recharge because the world's in chaos, apparently. But no one ever tells you this, and you don't know where you got the orbs. You just have them. So, ostensibly, Red Mage number 3 just happened upon a red orb one day and said, hey, other guys with orbs, you want to join a party and go, like, adventuring and save this guy's princess daughter?
I think it happened to Earth.
Wind!
Messed it up, it's fire. Oh. Now we're done.
Is it Earth first?
Earth, fire, wind, water, heart. Go planet.
By our powers combined.
Nope, you messed it up. No, not allowed.
No.
You missed your chance, I was trying to set you up.
So anyway, the game's not really great about establishing story, and there is kind of an overarching plot, but you don't really get to it until after you do this Save the Princess quest. And it does like a, after you save the princess, it does like a splash screen when you cross the bridge.
It's got like a short credit sequence, like opening credits in a movie, you know, produced by, there are no actors, so screw them.
Well, yeah, the actors are Red Mage, Black Mage, and whoever else you toss on your party.
But you have to have Red Mage and Black Mage?
Obviously.
No all black belt party?
Well, I suppose you could do a black belt party. All white mage party. People have done it.
I know.
It's sad.
They've done only one red mage. You get your three other red mages killed, and you just go through with one. Like I was saying earlier, you have an overmap, and of course, random encounters as you go through. They're scaled differently than later Final Fantasy games, though, I feel. I feel like they're less level appropriate, and not in a bad way. They feel a lot more adventurous.
Yeah, there are definitely some parties that you can encounter before you're at a level to encounter them. That will definitely kill you, but you get fairly high rewards for actually killing them, so...
And that's another important thing. You don't gain magic on level up. You have to buy it. You also have to buy all your armor and equipment. So gold bees are actually, I feel, really valuable in this game.
It is. I got to a town recently and I had like 80,000 and I needed new spells and was down to like 2.
Yeah, I have a bunch of spells I'm eyeing that I can't even almost afford.
Another thing about this game is something that tends to happen to me in later Final Fantasy games is item hoarding. You cannot afford to item hoard in this game.
No.
You need your items.
You don't have nearly the gold. And I actually like that gold is a valuable resource in this game, and I have to make decisions on do I want to get my fighter better weapons or get a new spell for my mage.
Oftentimes this go level grind and do both, but...
Well, yeah, but that leads to what I think the big problem in the game is. We were talking earlier about how combat is slow. That means even more than normal, getting into a random encounter is a chore.
Indeed. Even trying to run away from the random encounter immediately to save yourself time... Still takes quite a while, because there's the second and a half between cursor movement and selecting the run command, and then you actually have to go and process the run command. So this morning, I got into an encounter with 8 enemies, and I told my random everyone but my Black Mage to just hit a random enemy, and I had my Black Mage cast Fire 3. And then I got up, went and brewed myself a cup of tea, got myself a bagel, came back, but this entire process took me 3 to 5 minutes, somewhere in that range. Came back, and the turn hadn't finished yet.
As a result, I haven't been playing this game much, because I can't stand it for more than 3 or 4 battles, even though I really like the battle system. It's fun, it just takes forever. I'm only on the second dungeon, actually.
I'm playing this on an emulator, actually, and unfortunately the fastest this emulator can speed it up is 2.5 times.
Oh,
so
wow. You don't have a 30 times emulator?
No. For some reason, it actually gives you an alternative speed. It's not even a speed up. It's, you can actually slow it down if you want with this command. But the alternative speed only goes up to 2.4 times the regular speed.
Well, I'm the one who insists all our games be available for real people purchase and don't just say, let's just play everything on emulator. But this is a game I definitely suggest you play on something you can speed it up. Remember in Pokemon Stadium, the Dodrio Tower and Doduo Tower, that you, if you played the your Pokemon game on a transfer pack, you could do 3x speed?
Yeah, that's right.
That was super convenient.
I do remember, that's actually, I specifically went and leveled all my Pokemon up to level 100 using that because it was such a chore to do it otherwise.
Another good tip, just play Pokemon instead.
Yeah, Pokemon I actually think is more enjoyable than this game, but this game has a different feel to it than RPGs I'm used to playing recently, which is kind
of
cool.
I actually think it's a lot of fun. We should talk about what's different in the random encounters of this. You want to touch on the magic, which I do too. But first, something that's important. Orders are given to your party all at once. You don't have turns in the traditional, it's fighter turn, it's black mage turn, it's evil wolf turn.
That actually didn't come about until, I think, 6 was the first one to have the active time battle system.
I actually don't like the active time battle system. But,
really?
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
4/2 kinda had an active time battle system, but only kinda.
10, which is the first Final Fantasy game I played, is my favorite, with the turns that line up and your turn takes
longer
depending on what you do.
I think that's how 4/2 works, but you can't actually see that mechanism.
Even so, I'd be very happy with that. But anyway, so you have to give your party commands all at once, and if you give 2 of your party members in order to attack an enemy, and that enemy dies to the first hit, the second attack is wasted.
Yeah, you'll actually attack empty space, and it'll just say, ineffective, and you're like, what's ineffective? Is he, like, resistant to physical attack?
Which sucks. And there's no hit point. You can't see the hit points of your enemies. Which is fair, but because the game is so slow, I often forget who did my black mage who can't one-shot anything attack last turn. Which is inconvenient. But you wanted to touch on the magic, and I do too.
So, the magic system in this works based on your intelligence. And the higher your intelligence, the more spells of every level you can cast. And there are, 8 levels, I think?
Yeah. These work like D&D spell levels, if you aren't familiar. They're not related to your character level, which is separate. But as you level up, you gain higher level spell slots for higher level spells. So level 1 spells are like fire and lightning.
And cure.
Yeah, and cure. And like level 3 spells would be like cure 2, lightning 2, whatever. And you get higher and higher until the level 8 spells are the things like nuke, which is flare, but they call it nuke.
And fade, which is basically holy, but they call it fade. And
the really good stuff.
Yeah, they kill enemies dead. And they're generally pretty effective, and Red Mage can't learn any of them.
So the upshot of this is, you are sort of incentive to cast your low-level spells even at high levels because they take up a different resource than your higher-level spells. It's also an interesting gating mechanism, I think, for the spell progress. And, you know, it's a meaningful level up. I think 10 MP is not as valuable as I can cast an extra spell.
Yes, and that is very true. That's one thing I like about it is it definitely makes the higher-level spells seem more valuable, although some of them aren't as awesome as you think they would be for costing 20,000 gold. But, definitely an interesting way to cast spells. My problem with it, though, is that even at, like, level 20, you can still only cast, like, 10 first-level spells, so I'm used to, and this may just be I'm habituated to this, is in Final Fantasy games, if you're low on health, rather than using my items, I go and cast Cure a bunch of times on all my party members in between battles.
I'm the same way.
This game is different in that you really should just be buying a ton of heal potions and...
Though those aren't cheap. We already talked about how gold is actually pretty valuable in this game. The more heal potions to buy, you're probably going to be skimping on armor or something.
Indeed. So, heal potions are kind of when you get to a higher level and you can only cast Cure 5 times per day. Well, you might as well have 20 heal potions on you because you're going to run out of Cure pretty fast. And that's status effects in this game are...
We'll get there. You brought up something. I really like the spells per level system. I guess I've already said my piece on it. I don't have those problems. I agree they exist. But I think they're endemic of something else in this game, which is it's really grindy, even for a Final Fantasy. You've got to do some leveling up, some getting gold, and you've got to stick close to your town at first. Another interesting thing, this game is one of the first with a save system. To save, you have to sleep in an inn, and you have to pay to sleep in an inn. And those costs scale to the town, so it doesn't really get cheaper. It always is going to hit your wallet a little bit.
I find it actually leveled out at about 100 gold, and at that point you're making like 1600 per random encounter or so.
Okay, maybe I haven't got to the point where it levels out yet, because 100 gold is still a bit for me.
Yes, by the time you get to Elfland or what, yeah, which is a creative name, by the way. The place where the elves live is called Elfland.
Sweet. Planning my vacation.
The dwarves live in the dwarf cave, so... So, if you've never played a Final Fantasy game, and if you're listening to the show, I find that highly unlikely. But in case you haven't, later Final Fantasy games did not the level cast spells.
They went to an MP system, which everyone is familiar with now, because it's a popular system, and it works.
Yeah, in fact, I'm playing Xenosaga right now, and it has an MP system. I forgot how prevalent that it was, because every game has it now.
Xenosaga is a good game. Although, you have to get through the 6 movies that are inside.
I was going
to
say, it's...
But ask Cosmos.
Who is awesome?
I only played the first one, and I only got like halfway through before my save file got deleted, and I was like, F this noise.
That happens to you a lot. It seems
Metroid
like...
and that.
Oh, really?
I think
feel like there's
maybe Tales of Symphonia. I'm with Pokemon Coliseum, but that was malicious intent on my brother's part. And a lot in Phantasy Star Online.
I feel like Phantasy Star Online just, like, corrupted itself after a while.
It had memory transfer. A lot of memory transfer went on during that, and a lot of temporary stuff, and it was very easy to encounter a problem. I shouldn't say very easy, but...
It was kind of glitch-prone memory management.
It was even less that it was glitch-prone. It's more that you were doing so much with it that eventually the odds are not going to roll in your favor. Eventually you're going to roll a 1 for data transfer. Back to D&D metaphors.
And in this game, you also, like in basically every other RPG ever since, you do kind of random damage around a center. It's not really a big point, but occasionally you kind of wonder why your Fire 2 spelled at 30 to one enemy and 140 to another.
That's interesting, especially since that's a valuable spell slot you're spending on Fire 2.
I know, right? I guess, well, no, there's... Oh, yeah, you get a boat eventually. You also get an airship eventually.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the boat is actually pretty cool, although it's just, hey, there are pirates, okay, now you have a boat.
Yeah. You beat a pirate captain, he's like, yar, you beat my crew. Have a boat.
It does at least tell you you need a boat, and then there's a pirate.
Indeed.
I also like a lot of the enemy names, since there are a bunch of them have been truncated to fit. Also, Kaizoku!
Oh, yeah,
that's what I say.
I didn't encounter those until after I had gone to Elfland or something. I'd been sailing for a while looking for stuff to pick up. And then I got back out after doing a bunch of side quests, I think after the Marsh Cave, and got back out to the ocean and I encountered a Kaizoku and...
Kaizoku!
Was it Kaizoku?
Kaizoku! You obviously didn't watch enough One Piece.
Apparently. Is that Japanese pirate. For pirate?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It really made me want to just play a One Piece RPG with a bunch of Kaizoku! Shut up, but...
But I thought because I had beat a boss that it was, like, a higher-level enemy, and then I took them down with one hit. So...
The pirates are lame compared to Kaizoku! But I guess Blackbeard couldn't take Luffy, so...
That is very true.
Although I guess Blackbeard is the main villain of One Piece now. I haven't watched it in a while. He's gravity powers.
Yeah, well, that would be extremely effective against him, so...
It's effective against everything.
Well, that is true. It's super effective.
I'm like the one guy who had lightning powers and thought he was a god and had everyone convinced, and Luffy's like, rubber. Now, that's the other really cool thing about Annie. Her taunt is, I'm rubber and you're on fire.
So, I guess, yeah, Final Fantasy... Do we want to, like, hit the plot of Final Fantasy really quick as far as
we Didn't we already
it?
Do that? Orbs, princess, elves.
Oh, yeah, but then you get to Elfland and you have to save the elf prince by finding...
Herb. It's in all capitals, so I've decided you need to find Herb.
It's actually a guy named Herb.
Yeah.
But,
exactly.
Then you have to go to a cave to get a crown for a guy because Asso stole his crown, but it turns out he's actually Asso's, and then you have to beat him. Then he gives you a crystal, and then you have to take it to a witch, and then you have to get an herb, and then you have to bring
Spoilers,
it back to the prince.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
And then he gives you a key, and then you have to use a key to get dynamite, and then you have to get the dynamite to a dwarf, and then the dwarf blows up a cavern. There's a lot of fetch quests and revisiting places you've been.
So it's like Mass Effect 3.
I assume. I've never played Mass Effect 3, so...
Neither have I, but as I've heard it, it's fetch quests and visiting places you've already been, the game.
I thought that was a Metroidvania.
To be fair, there are places you visited in the other games.
Fair enough.
And you go to the Quarian homeworld, which I guess you hadn't actually gone to.
Quarian. Oh, are those what Tully is? Yeah. Okay. That's right, the space flotilla people.
Yeah, you go to their planet because they're like, the Reapers are attacking, let's attack the Geth on our planet. That's a good idea, right?
So, I don't know. Although, I find Final Fantasy pretty enjoyable.
It's part of what I started this podcast for. It was my idea entirely, right?
Yeah, totally.
I vocalized it, at least.
Indeed.
You were just like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I've been thinking of doing for a long time.
So, I don't know if we've said this before, but so we do like a weekly tabletop gaming session, and I showed up one day, and Jeremy's like, hey, we should start reviewing games, and then like, we actually started this out as a textual review, so...
Yeah, but I always really wanted to do a podcast. I just didn't want to have to go to your house... That's an hour away once a week, and then edit for 2 hours, and then get a website.
So really, we just need to hire someone to do all the editing stuff for us.
We just need to hire someone to do all the work and just play video games.
Yes. But the same day, I had actually been considering just doing my own podcast, basically. Or basically a series of Let's Plays, I guess, but...
Let's Play!
I've never actually watched a Let's Play of anything.
I watched the Rooster Teeth Weekly Let's Play of Minecraft, but that's very different than our real Let's Play. They just, like, come up with Minecraft events. Right now they're doing a first to brew a potion, and they literally got, what do you call it, the Nether Gate, and they spawned in a Nether Fortress on the other side.
That's convenient.
Yeah. They're like, oh, they beat us to the Nether. It's okay. They'll never find a Nether Fortress. And then there are just giggles. I've been thinking about doing one for Persona, because I want to start playing some Persona games, but there's so much history I'd have to catch up on.
I thought we should play the first Shinten.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. I have no idea what system it's for.
Super Nintendo, I think.
Really?
Yep.
Probably not available in English.
Nope.
I don't speak Japanese.
I found a decent translation, but I can read Japanese, so...
Yeah, jerk. With your skills.
I know, right? With my actual Japanese class, actually, I don't remember most of it. I know enough to say that I don't speak Japanese very well.
Okay, so. Okay. That's about what I remember of Spanish. And donde está el baño?
The baño.
El baño. I've also been told I have a surfer dude accent in Spanish.
Hola, amigos. How would you even do a surfer dude?
No, like, it's the Spanish, what the Spanish think of as, like, a surfer.
Okay. I speak with an Argentinian accent, but my speaker...
I would have guessed Portuguese. Probably because of all the tibia you play and all the Portuguese dudes that be on the tibias.
No, I can read Portuguese, but I can't speak Portuguese, so...
It's pretty similar to Spanish, isn't
Indeed.
It? Especially in writing. Anyway!
Latin-based languages aside... Is there anything else we wanted to talk about Final Fantasy?
Do we want to compare it to the later Final Fantasies? Talk a bit about the series. It's a bit late in the game, but yeah. I don't think there's anything I want to touch on this game specifically. What was your first Final Fantasy? I don't know why I was whispering.
Well, let's do you first, since you mentioned it before.
I thread own Final Fantasy Tactics, and I saw it for, like, 10 minutes, maybe, and it seemed pretty cool, but I didn't have a PlayStation, so my first one was on the PS2. Final Fantasy X, I rented it on my 14th birthday? I have to be earlier than that because I knew you when I was 13th birthday, I guess. And was so exhausted from staying up all night, I didn't really like it. But then I rented it again because I realized I didn't give it a fair shake, and God, I love that game. It's got so many flaws, the voice acting is terrible by today's standards, there are plenty of... We'll throw GameCube cases at you. We're in my domain this time.
Oh, but I love that scene.
So bad. But I like the story, even though, you know, a lot of my video game story of that time is anti-religion stuff, which I find interesting now. But I like the story, I like the twist, I like the characters, and Titus.
and Titus.
I really like the combat system, like I said earlier. I like the Aeons, I like how summoning works. It's a great game. I'm a cool player right now.
The only thing I feel that could make that game better is if there was also a job leveling system in it.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy X too.
Yeah. Which, I'm a big fan of the job leveling system, and while 10-2 is far from a stellar game, it's actually fun to level characters in that. On the other hand, it greatly promotes level grinding to learn all the moves.
Oh, yeah. Leveling system in 10, great.
Oh, yeah, the sphere grid?
Yeah.
I love the sphere grid.
I do, too. Spoonie's wrong when he says it's bad.
Well, it gives you suggestions on which way you should take your character by giving you obvious paths that you should go.
You don't really have any choices in it, but you can preview how you're going to advance, and I like that.
Indeed. Well, and eventually you can have your Titus be Orin or your Titus be Kamari, and why would you want him to be Kamari? So Orin it is.
Or you could ask your friend why he sent Yuna all the way around the sphere grid.
I sent Titus all the way around the sphere grid once, so... Well,
at least that a little makes sense. Or Kamari. But anyway, 10, love it. And then I tried to play 7, 8, 9. Couldn't really get into any of them. I eventually got most of the way through 8. I've never finished 7, you can crucify me. I really didn't like 9. Tactics, though. I got Tactics. Great game. Go play the original Final Fantasy Tactics. If you own a PSP for some strange reason, they remade it as, I think, Record of Lion War, or something Lion War. It's great. I haven't beat it either, but that's because the last 3 levels are super hard. You can get Cloud in it. He's a secret character.
And everyone loves Cloud, inexplicably.
Then I tried this 1, 2, and 3 on emulators, never really got that far, and eventually got 6 for the Game Boy Advance and got a little more than halfway through after Kefka breaks the world.
American 2 or Japanese 2?
American 2, I think.
So then American 3 or Japanese 3?
American 3, I know. I think it was actually Japanese 2 and American 3, which is 6. So that's my history with Final Fantasy. I guess 10 is the only one I've actually beaten. I also played 10-2 in there, but I try to forget that.
So, let's see here. I went through a phase where I played every Super Nintendo game ever made. This might be a slight exaggeration, but there are very few that I have not played. which is a little sad because now I go onto emulator sites trying to find a Super Nintendo game I haven't played yet. I'm like, ah, I've played all these. It was during this time where I was getting bored with playing, I guess, Mega Man over and over and over because...
Also great.
It's hard to get bored of X, but I did play it so much I got bored of it for a while. So I got to a point where I was looking for something more RPG-ish to play, and my friend had recently been playing Seven. Seven had just come out, and he was playing it on the PC. I'm like, well, that sounds like an interesting game. So I went and played 2/4, the one where you're Cecil the Dark Knight, and the Baron's like, hey, Cecil, I'm killing babies. And he's like, are you evil?
Does that one start on an airship?
I think so, yes.
Okay, that's the one I played.
Yeah, and he's wearing, like, purple armor, and he has a friend who gets possessed, who isn't really possessed, who's actually working for the bad guy, who's actually a double agent.
Don't remember any of that. So the plot got a lot more complex between 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. The point where you figure out that the king's evil, and I don't know how it took him that long to figure it out, it starts getting ridiculous.
I don't want to stop you, but I think an interesting point is, because they have characters in later ones, they can have much more detailed stories and much more intricate character stories. Do you lose a little immersion in that? Because I actually feel like I'm on an adventure going around, and I really like choice of which classes I'm going to play and the characters.
So do you want to hit on it really quickly? We've kind of talked about this before, but we talked about the difference between Western and Japanese RPGs, as they're commonly called. And the big difference is that whereas a Western RPG tells a story that you experience by playing as the characters... In Western RPGs, the focus is more on creating your own story, and it's a lot easier to do that if you have basically nameless characters, or characters who have no story of their own, or at least no overt character development of their own.
That makes things difficult, though, because you have to have a whole bunch of things open, and it can feel a little empty. A lot of people complain that Shepard isn't really a character, and that's kind of true, but he's kind of not supposed to be. But then in 3, they sort of gave him characteristics, and it doesn't mesh well.
Especially in franchises, you have to be careful if you start as an open-ended, more fantasy-based? Not fantasy as in, like, elves and dragons and whatnot, but fantasy as in fantasizing about stuff. Being able to, I guess, self-insert yourself into a role.
I only play video games that are actually real. That's why I only play Arkham Asylum, because that all actually happened.
It's hard to introduce actual character traits in a character that is supposed to be an avatar of the player. And that's, I think, the big difference between Japanese and Western RPGs, is that in Japanese RPGs, the character is not your avatar.
Oddly, I sort of got my fascination from this in the first place from Japanese RPGs that would have multiple endings, usually a good one and a bad one, sometimes a middle one as well. I really like the idea of a more story-driven game, and it's weird to me that the West are the ones that have really taken that and run with it. I'm crying Mass Effect, but it's probably the best example of this, and I love the first Dragon Age so much.
So that's actually, I think, a recent development, though. It's more that Japanese RPGs got stuck with a style presenting a narrative, which was turn-based combat and, like, anime-style characters, and...
It's odd that the recent Final Fantasies are trying to break that, and are seen as so terrible.
Well, that's because they're basically a movie. They're...
Yeah.
You don't actually get to play a game anymore, and they're so
but
not good.
You haven't played Walking Dead yet. Play it. That was worth the edit, kids. But it's... almost entirely a movie. There's almost no challenge. You can get some game over. To the point where I was like, is this really a game? And I said, of course it is. What are you talking about, Jeremy?
Does it become more like a choose-your-own-adventure novel?
It starts more like that. It doesn't become that. It's very much that. And there are some parts where you have to make shots, but there's one part in particular where there's a character who, if you don't make the shot, you don't save her, unless you made an earlier choice, and then your like little girl companion will shoot the zombie attacking her for you if you miss. But anyway, yeah, Walking Dead, also play that. Great. And only $5 an episode.
That's not bad.
No.
Although Rain Slick, Precipice of Darkness.
Yeah, I played the first one, and there were a bunch of problems with the second, so I never got it. And I don't want to play the third until I play the second, so. Plus, I bought the first on the now-defunct Greenhouse Games, which I hear is, if you email them, they'll just give you free copies of the games you say you had. But I haven't wanted to do that. And don't do that if you didn't actually own the games and just being a jerk.
Yeah, people.
If there's nothing else you want to hit, that's about a good time.
So the other things that I did, or I guess after 4, I immediately then went to 6 and was like, wow, this is 5 times better. But I have a special sense of nostalgia for 4, or maybe not even nostalgia. I really like 4 for some reason.
A lot of people do. Why. Spoonie's name comes from it.
Oh, yeah, because Spoonie Bard.
Yeah, and he played a bard in D&D, and so people would joke about how he was a Spoonie Bard. So
that's
a lot of D&D talk this week.
Well, that's because Final Fantasy was basically created by AD&D.
So. It's a very similar, and that's not bad. I said I wanted to discuss this, why they went to an MP system rather than a spell level system. and why we don't see that in video games anymore.
I think because logically it would make sense. Okay, so if you just have a character, and their health is represented by how much damage they can take overall before their arm falls off or something, and their magic should be represented by their total amount of willpower or something, so it doesn't make sense where you can cast only one giant fire spell, and then also seven miniature fire spells, or as opposed to just, like, a combination thereof?
But in anime, you always save your big attack for last, and you only do it once. Yeah, but you're shooting fireballs all the time.
That is true. It definitely plays to that particular trope, where...
And I don't think enough things do, but...
I get frustrated watching martial arts anime, because... They'll be like, oh, you didn't know I had this secret technique. And they're like,
It's one-up you, it's like a chess match, only with ridiculous powers. I started reading the Naruto manga again.
Except, there comes a point where if you had just used that technique from the beginning, because the other person's technique requires them to charge up, if you just hit them with your giant death cannon from the very beginning, you win. There's no battle. You're
it's not
done.
Dramatically appropriate.
Well, it's, okay, yes, it doesn't make for a good story, but logically, it would be much better to just do that. Alright, so I guess we're near the end. So what are we going to do for our next game?
Do we want to keep playing Final Fantasy? Like I said, I didn't get far into it. I don't know how much further I can get, but I do want to keep playing it.
So I feel like I would keep playing it on my own, but I don't know, like, can we do another episode about it? What would we say in another episode that we didn't say in this episode?
Do we want to do a probation thing? We'll play it for a couple days and switch gears if things aren't working?
Potentially. I should write down things that I want to... Oh man, I should have been doing this for every game. I should just write down things that come to me while I'm playing it so that I can say it later.
Let's do this. If we'll play Final Fantasy, if it doesn't seem to be working out, we will change and play Super Mario Bros. Short game.
The original?
Yeah.
Okay.
Easy to beat. We haven't talked about it. I don't know how much is there, but...
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be something. And there's Goofy. Oh man, the Koopas are so goofy looking in that game.
I haven't played it in a long time, so... Dude. I don't think I've played that since I owned an NES.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I've played Super Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario Bros. 2 since then, but I don't think I've played the original since I owned an NES.
Remember when we were considering doing that, like, Child's Play thing?
Yes, yes, I do.
I got to the point where I could speedrun the original Super Mario Bros. In 12 minutes.
12 minutes. I think, 41 seconds is ridiculous. I feel like...
It's about 6. Six is minutes? The world record. It's actually 540-something.
Yeah, I can do Mario 64 in 2 hours.
That's not bad.
It's actually closer to 3, but 2.5 about it. It would probably be 3 if I tried it again now, because... I have to remember.
I think my fastest time on that game is maybe 6 hours, but I wasn't really trying to speedrun it. But I suspect you can speedrun it much faster than I can.
Yeah, well, I think the record is 57 minutes for Mario 64.
Wow. Wow. And, that would be a thing of beauty.
And 100% is 2 hours, 14 minutes.
Yeah, that my 6 hours is 100%. I don't think I've ever done minimal.
But since Mario 64 is an early 3D game, there's a lot of abuse of the terrain and physics you can do to get stars instantly that are supposed to take, like, 10 minutes. Lots of wall kicks.
Wall kicks. Which are hard to do. Okay, so I guess next time on Last Time, Super Mario Brothers or Final Fantasy?
Probably Final Fantasy. We'll see.
Probably Final Fantasy, but start playing Mario because it's fun.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, fully owned by its host.
All the material referenced herein and the games reviewed are property of their respective owners, obviously.
You can find more episodes and other insightful products at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
The sweet theme song's by me.
If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
If you're so enamored with a specific host that you'd like to reach us individually, you can reach me, Tyler, at tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or me, Jeremy, I'm single, ladies. At Jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com. That's G-E-R-E-M-Y.
With a G. No controllers were harmed in the making of this episode.